This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Monday, January 17th. Hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. Happy MLK Day to everyone, and that does include Dallas Cowboys fans. We got a lot to talk to y'all about today. I got to say, super wild card weekend. I know a lot of people were fired up. Oh, it shows we don't need a seventh team in the playoffs. Shut up, people. Be quiet. Come on. You loved football wall to wall. I was watching it all. Even though it was my wife's birthday weekend, shout out to the great wife. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Aim. I was, you know, giving her birthday shout outs all weekend while watching the football game. She knows the deal at this point. Like, hey, you know, we're deep into marriage. We got two kids. You know, January's tough. My birthday, her birthday, coming off the holidays, NFL playoffs, basketball season. Like, babe, I'm going to do my best. But NFL playoffs, work, you know, is how we have the good life. Me watching every single NFL snap, not missing one. Okay. Didn't miss a snap all weekend. Even some of the garbage snaps in Buffalo, New England, which we'll probably not even touch on. That game was garbage Saturday night. That being said, I got to start with the Dallas Cowboys. I was going to start with all the money I made you guys over the weekend. Yes, it sunk that the Cowboys did not deliver, but holy hell, the picks were pretty on point. Eagles money line did not happen. Sorry. Chiefs first half, never in doubt. The Dallas Cowboys are the ones that let us down. Now, listen, I know that everybody is super angry. I got several people who, I don't know how much I want to say about, but anyways, my one of my good buddies, longtime pals, is in a pick'em pool for the regular season, and he ended up tied, so it spilled over into the first weekend of the playoffs. I guess it's with two other dudes. And one of the big swing games was Cowboys 49ers, and we're just trading texts throughout this, like, oh my God, we're on the Cowboys. What is McCarthy doing? And Dak Prescott sucks. And what happened to this great offensive line? And why is Ezekiel Elliott wearing a piano on his back when he's running into the line of scrimmage? That game on so many fronts was frustrating if you're a Cowboys fan. I'm not going to be officiating guy. I'm going to sum this up. And Rob, I know we touched on this a couple weeks ago. It was after the Arizona game. I saw a headline that the Cowboys were ticked off at the officiating. And I said, guys, and I said it at the time, the Cowboys need to shut up and stop whining. They're complaining about the officials and the flags. They did it in the Vegas game, and it was atrocious. The officiating was bad. I get it. Then they complained at the Arizona loss. And it's like, hey, guys, come on. You know, you sucked in that game. You did not deliver. And now, here it is, Monday morning, after Super Wild Card weekend, the Cowboys lose at home as favorites. The officiating is the big story. And I understand you're frustrated. 14 penalties, 89 yards, the bullshit referee snap situation, which we'll get to, all these people attacking me on Twitter. You guys are, I don't know. It's early, it's Monday, I'm not trying to get too fired up. Dallas is an undisciplined mess. I need to start with how you practice. And I tell my kids this all the time, right? Developing habits is how you get good at anything. I heard somebody say, oh, at the beginning of the year, all anybody wants to do is, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Remember we had Preston Johnson on? I'm going to lose 50 pounds. That's, and again, Preston, shout out, he did lose some of the weight. It's not about making these declarations of, I'm going to lose weight. It's, I'm going to develop these habits that eventually lead to me losing weight. I'm going to be a workout guy. I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to be a push-up guy. I'm going to push up every day. I'm going to do sit-ups. I'm going to walk. I'm going to run. I'm going to develop that habit so that, guess what? It becomes secondary of losing the weight because I've got this new habit that's going to lead me to losing weight. The Dallas Cowboys all season have been undisciplined. They did not develop good practice habits where they don't have idiotic, asinine penalties all the time. Throughout the season, one of the most flagged teams in the league. I believe they were top three in penalties in the secondary all season. And when Trevon Diggs is out here getting roasted, burnt friggin' toast, don't come to me with why are you a hater. He's getting torched and then they're grabbing in the secondary every time when they're getting beat because they're trying to jump everything to try to intercept passes. And the defensive line, I mean, that Randy Gregory penalty, like, bro, I can't blame the officials. Were they great? Hell no. We all know the officiating was not great. But at the end of the day, when you've got an awesome offense with an offensive coordinator who's apparently interviewing for head coaching jobs, Kellen Moore, and you average 4.4 yards per play, get out of here with the officials. When you are a great defensive coordinator like Dan Quinn, and you're interviewing for the Denver Broncos job, which he apparently has locked up, when the Bears are clamoring for you, when you're interviewing for jobs and the 49ers come out and go touchdown, field goal on you, and then, oh, by the way, they get the ball back and they keep driving. Dan Quinn couldn't get a stop to save his life. The Cowboys open the game defensively. They give up a touchdown. They give up a field goal. They give up a field goal. They give up a field goal. And that then they got the ball back and it was halftime. And it's like, geez, Dan Quinn. I don't know. Now, then Jimmy Garoppolo kind of imploded and urinated down his leg in the second half a couple times, and Dallas got back in the game. But the bottom line, everybody out there yelling, Mike McCarthy needs to be fired. I need to ask you this. Who called that asinine Dak Prescott quarterback sneak with like 14 seconds left when you could take cracks at the end zone? Who called it? Was it Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, who calls the plays? Or did Mike McCarthy say, too serious of a moment, I've got to make the call? I got to ask you that. Give me the answer. What's the answer? Do we know? Has it been established that Mike McCarthy took the reins and said, I'm calling this quarterback draw? Because I see all these yahoos out there trying to cut through and get some clout chasing, as they call it in the streets. And they're out here trying to get all the retweets and favorites just because they're saying, fire Mike McCarthy. Okay. That's easy. Anybody could say, fire this guy. Fire him. Go ahead. Fire McCarthy. What's your game plan? You going to elevate Kellen Moore? Kellen Moore dropped a big deuce at midfield. Remember when Terrell Owens ran and celebrated on the star? That's what Kellen Moore did with this performance today. This offensive performance was pathetic. And I know Dak was not great. He was not good at all. Offensive line was garbage. They made no adjustments. Dak sacked 5 times when you've got all the money sunk into the offensive line. All of it. I mean, the offensive line got trampled. The blocking was terrible. Play calling, I didn't love. I don't love Ezekiel Elliott carrying 12 times for 31 yards. Longest carry, 9 yards. Like, what are we doing? Why? CeeDee Lamb, who you go out and draft in the first round when you didn't need to. Sorry, I got to take a sip of my drink. I'm fired up. I'm yelling. It's early. CeeDee Lamb had 1 catch for 21 yards. This is the same bloody secondary, the Niners, that Davis Mills lit up like a Christmas tree, torched them with Brandon Cooks. Who you think is better player, Brandon Cooks or CeeDee Lamb? CeeDee Lamb's can go in the slot. CeeDee Lamb's on the outside. CeeDee Lamb's doing everything. And he has 1 catch for 21 yards. So, I get it. You want to fire McCarthy? Fine. What is the game plan? Because if you're promoting Kellen Moore, I got major questions. Now you look at a scenario where, well, shit, if we keep Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn bounces, we got to find a new defensive coordinator. And if we don't promote Kellen Moore, maybe some dumbass team makes him a head coach. I don't think Kellen Moore is ready to be a head coach. Kellen Moore was phenomenal, kicking the ass of the NFC least. He crushed them. Eviscerated them. Step up in class against a Niners team where Jimmy Garoppolo made a couple nice throws, but overall 172 yards through the air. Interception. Basically, Jimmy Garoppolo did everything he could to keep you in the game in the second half, and you could not deliver. So I can't kill Mike McCarthy. Was he good? No. But was Kellen Moore good? No. Was the offensive line good? No. Was Dak Prescott good? No. This was soup to nuts, a dog shit performance from a good team that had a shot at the Super Bowl. And guys, I don't really know where to go from here. Because in the offseason, I said that when they signed Dak to all the money, I said, man, this is going to be tough. Their Super Bowl window is probably this year. Because remember, Dak, they staggered the money, so he's not making all of the money this year. It goes up a little next year, and then after that, the balloon payments kick in where he's making like 50K. 50 mil a year. Sorry, 50K. Dak probably carries that around in his glove box. So, the window was this year. I think maybe they have a tiny chance next year, but I don't have a lot of faith. I don't know how Ezekiel Elliott is your lead back anymore. I don't know what to make of the offensive line. I can't wait to see the Pro Football Focus grades whenever they come out this week, because nobody was good. They got absolutely destroyed. Eric Armstead was a beast. Somebody named Charles Ohemelu. I don't even know who that is. Bosa was good until he got the concussion, which is troubling for the Packers game. Rob G, before we get to the rest of the games, and I feel like we could probably do 30 minutes on Dallas here. Am I being too harsh on the Cowboys? Like overall, I thought this was an awful performance when you come out at home and you are gutless offensively and the defense just can't stop a nosebleed.
No, I don't think you're too hard on him at all. I feel like you're being hard on me because I'm one of the people who put out a tweet saying fire Mike McCarthy. So I felt like that was a personal attack.
You're one of a million, yeah. Rob. Come on.
I call it a tarmac game for Mike McCarthy. Now, Mike Silver, who I believe is now with Bally Sports, reported after the game late on Sunday that the call for the quarterback draw was Kellen Moore, who made the call, but that Mike McCarthy was on the headset and he was cool with it. So whatever, I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah, okay.
But
interesting.
That's what happened.
All right, so hold on. Let's talk this through. So you're in a two-minute drill. You're out of timeouts. You're rushing down the field. Kellen Moore calls in the headset, we're going to do a quarterback draw, sprint up. They're not going to be ready for it all. Everybody's dropping back in the zone. We'll run up and clock it.
Yes.
McCarthy, the head coach, probably has like a three-second window there maybe to overrule him and get a new play in. I don't know. The 40-second clock is I'm trying to let me call it the play-by-play right before the sneak because I feel like it was a I did like the pitch play, by the way, to CeeDee Lamb that opened the drive. That was slick. Okay, so the final play was Dak Prescott over a nice pass to Dalton Schultz for 9 yards. San Fran called timeout with 14 seconds left. So they did. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they got out of bounds with Dalton Schultz, and then they had a play called
San Francisco
called
timeout.
Call timeout. Yep. Because up until that point, San Francisco was not covering the sidelines. They were playing a prevent defense, and that's why Dallas was able to get 40 yards right every play out of bounds because of that.
And so what I'm assuming Moore saw, right? You said they were not covering the sidelines. I'm sure
they came out of the timeout covering the sidelines. Yeah.
Right. They adjusted. Let's go wide. We don't want to let them get out of bounds. So that's actually a pretty smart call if we break it down this way, right? Kellen Moore, the middle's open. The problem, I guess, is, you know, Dak's awareness has to be like, I've got to get down when there's like 7 seconds left so we can get to the line of scrimmage and clock it. And Dak got a little greedy, right? He went for 17 yards. Rob, I got to say, I guess if Kellen Moore calls that play during the timeout. Now, we don't know if he called it during the timeout or when they saw the San Fran adjustment. And again, I don't know that Dallas would ever reveal exactly how it went down. We're not going to get that kind of breakdown from the Cowboys. But, you know, I sooner like two cracks. Full disclosure. So it's the wife's birthday weekend. So we went out of town. They were going to go skiing. And then there's a million COVID cases. They shut down a bunch of the slopes. We're like, we're not going skiing. I wasn't going to go skiing, by the way. I was staying behind. And so we did a little staycation. And I'll tell the story about a restaurant we went to that was very weird. I'll save that for tomorrow. But we're poolside. I'm watching the game on my phone. Amazon is amazing. So there's pools set up. There's TVs set up at the pool, Rob. But they were like 10 seconds behind. Now, I don't know why that is. So I would be refreshing the play-by-play, and I would see the play, and I'd be like, geez, this is going to happen. So my buddy shows up, and he's like, oh, the Amazon app is ahead of this. I was like, oh, hell yeah. So I'm watching the game, and I say to my son, get out of the pool. Dallas has two chances at two Hail Marys here. That was my exact words. 14 seconds left at the 40. They're going to get two cracks at Hail Marys. Rob, did you think they should have gone Hail Mary?
No, you know, I actually didn't mind them trying to get another 5 to 10 yards because I think that opens up, rather than it being a Hail Mary, you can run something with the post, something with the crossing underneath it. You know, you didn't have to be just a 50-yard chuck to the end zone at that point. So I didn't mind them getting another 10 to 12 yards.
And I'm sure a lot of people would have said, okay, we've got enough time for 10 to 12, but I'm sure a lot of people are just like, you know, you can't run a friggin' quarterback draw and milk chew up the clock. Now, I do want to quickly break down, Rob, this whole the ref has to spot the ball. And I don't want to step on toes here because a lot of people are very sensitive about this. Well, you've got to know the rules. Yeah, everybody knows the friggin' rules, dude. I got it. I think the rule is the question. If Dallas sprints up to the line of scrimmage and their guys are ready, but the referee is catching up and standing and hovering over the ball, why is the clock still running? Should that be the rule? Should they not alter it? So, and I know you're not getting a free timeout, none of that. But if Dallas was to the line, and they were, because basically everybody knew the play, Dak ran up, he's the first one there, the offensive line is there, everybody's there, and the clock's at 5, Dallas is lined up, the referee's scrambling to get in there, 4, you're like, oh my gosh, 3, the ref's still like looking around, and like 2-1, and then they snap it to Dak with like less than a second left, he doesn't have time to spike it. But Rob, I'm sorry, I get the rules, I understand it. I don't think that's right or fair, and I know we can complain about the rules and be that guy, but Rob, am I the only? I can't be the only one who thinks that that's kind of asinine, and Dallas got a little bit screwed there.
No, I mean, you know, that is one of those things where, as the game has evolved, you would think they'd take a look at it. It's kind of like still using humans to carry the first down marker when we have all these cameras,
not having a chip in the ball,
and all of these different things. You know, that you can evolve at some point. I will say, I saw a screen grab on social media last night. When the Dallas offensive line and Dak Prescott were at the ball waiting to try to clock it, the wide angle of the camera shows the referee who's supposed to spot the ball was a full 20 yards away. So that's at least, what, 2.5 seconds for someone, maybe 3?
And so why should Dallas be penalized because that guy is so far behind?
Well, that's the rule. That's the problem.
But I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's why the rule sucks. I get it. You can criticize the play. Fine, we did that. I think the rule, the NFL has to kind of look at it. It just seems logically idiotic. All right, so I beat up the Cowboys big time. I'm telling you, they have a pivotal offseason here. This Zeke thing's going to be interesting. You know what? Let me call up Zeke's contract.
Well, while you're calling it up, can I just say something? I was very, very disappointed with Dak Prescott last night. Now, I mean, what he said about the officials, and he credit to the fans for throwing stuff at the officials after the game was so stupid, especially when you consider that Dak Prescott, with, like you mentioned, he's got Ezekiel Elliott, which you'll get to in a second, Tony Pollard in the backfield, a great offensive line, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, like he's got weapons galore. They score 17 points in the game. Outside of the final drive where, like we mentioned, San Francisco's just giving them yards because they're playing a prevent defense, he has one drive over 37 yards. And it's like, you're going to have the balls to come in after the game and say, well, yeah, the referees kind of took this one from us. No, they didn't. Yeah, I mean, there are things that happened at the end of the game which were stupid that could have, you know, been prevented, whatever. But how about take some accountability for yourself that you couldn't do shit with the ball for 85% of the game, that you're the one who couldn't muster any kind of offensive rhythm at all. And it's like the guys who are first quick to point out how bad the refereeing is, to me, I'd have no respect for. Because the referee, you can go that every game, every play, every football game, there's a hold. You know that. I mean, you've talked to enough people who play football. You can call a penalty on every single play if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And so
I'm with you.
I had a big issue with what Dak said, and I think that he's going to get killed a lot today on the debate shows on Monday. So we'll see if he tries to backtrack it, you know,
Like, listen, they're paying Dak. He's he was briefly, I guess, the highest paid quarterback in the league or something along those lines, right? Until Mahomes got it. And you've got to deliver in these playoff games. And he did not. I mean, it wasn't even close. And the Cowboys, that's a tough loss. That's one good. That's going to eat at them for a while. I'm telling you, Dallas now has had 3 brutal playoff losses this century. The Tony Romo's botched snap against Seattle. I'm sure you guys remember that one. The Dez Bryant caught it touchdown against the Packers on the road. I remember that one. I was on the winning side financially in the Seattle Cowboys. I was on the losing side in Dez Packers. And then I was on the losing side for this 49ers morass. Pretty embarrassing stuff. I thought by far that was the best game. Should have surprised nobody going in that was going to be the best game of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm not going to break down the other games in granular fashion. Briefly, Rob G, I guess we'll pour out some beer for your Raiders.
Oh, tough thank L. You. I appreciate that.
You know, they played well. I thought they got a little fortunate on the comeback side when the Bengals defenders started dropping like flies. That first half, Carr was under pressure big time, getting hammered. Forced a turnover, And it, there was just no pressure whatsoever in the second half once those guys got injured. Ogunjobi and Hendrickson both left the game. And Carr was in full comeback mode. I really thought they were going to get that touchdown. I will, and again, we can quibble over one play that it's basically your season. But, Rob, I'm sure you've seen it. Fourth and ball game, and you have Zay Jones run short of the goal line on fourth and goal. Waller was in the backfield. It looked like he might have chipped a pass rusher for a second. You can't do that on fourth and ball game. And him and Renfro are a full 5 yards short of the end zone. Even if Carr had thrown it to them, there's no chance they're scoring. I did not understand that play call at all. And I know that you have to be extremely salty if you bet the Raiders and they went for the field goal early as opposed to the touchdown, because obviously they would have covered if they had gone for the touchdown and scored it. They kicked and then got a chance to tie it up and did not come through. Joe Burrow was great, but Rob, I'm just curious, how did you take the loss?
You know, I actually wasn't too upset. I mean, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum here on the pod, that they've had probably the season from hell, you know, with everything that went on with them. And their red zone offense has been a problem all season, and it's mostly due to they just don't have enough dudes on the outside. Like, when you get into the red zone and everything's restricted, the windows are tight, unless you're like two or three guys, like maybe like a Sean McVay type offensive mind, it is really hard to scheme open guys at that point of the field. You just need your guys to beat their guys. You need your guy on the outside, like a Devontae Adams, who's going to win one-on-one coverage, and you throw him the ball and it's over. Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, whoever. The Raiders have Darren Waller, who's missed about half the season, and he was limited in the playoff game if you watched it closely, and Hunter Renfro. And Hunter Renfro is cool as a slot receiver, but he's, you know, he's a third receiver on a good team, you know? And so
8 for 58.
Yeah, because he's not going to beat you deep.
Your second best.
He's not going to beat you deep. He's great in short distances. He's kind of like a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type. Like, there's a reason why, for all of his Super Bowl, you know, theatrics, that when it came down to fantasy football, nobody was ever drafting Julian Edelman in fantasy, because you knew he'd get you like 7 catches for 40 yards. And you're like, okay, cool. That doesn't help me for anything. Like, he's not that kind of guy in the red zone. So I was glad that they put up a fight the way they did. And I will say, man, Cincinnati is going to be tough for a long time. Their skill position players are fantastic.
That coach, though, bro, I mean, geez, he really took the air out of the ball there in the fourth quarter. Like, was afraid. He played scared and coached scared. He's lucky Burrow is dealing, and Ja'Marr Chase is pretty filthy. Because I don't know. We'll get into Bengals. By the way, Bengals opened up at 2.5 against Tennessee. Instantly, all the money came in on the Titans. I got to see Bengals injuries before I can bet that one. The Saturday night game sucked. Buffalo steamrolls New England. Yeah, gave it out on this podcast. Loved the Bills. Felt like a layup all week. Rookie quarterback, playoffs, you got to fade him. And Buffalo rolled. Josh Allen looked incredible. I actually think, Rob, because Buffalo looks so good, people are going to back them heavily against the Chiefs. And I don't know if you saw this Sunday night. The line came out. Kansas City at home in a revenge spot against the Bills, who they lost to pretty convincingly a couple months back. Kansas City favored by 2. I made my biggest bet in a few months on Kansas City at 2. Under a field goal, KC at home, I'm sorry. I have to bet. That's an auto bet for me. And by the way, KC did not look good Sunday night. Rob, right?
No.
I mean, it's 0-0 after the first quarter against Big Ben. And then TJ Watt, of course, gets a scoop and score. And it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And then, of course, Kansas City woke up and scored like 7 touchdowns in a row or whatever. I don't know, Rob. Early thoughts on KC and Buffalo, which is going to be phenomenal, the Sunday night game.
You know what? I'm kind of surprised that you pounded Kansas City that early on, considering that I believe Josh Allen had like the second greatest playoff performance, according to all the advanced metrics, in NFL history. I think the best one was a Mahomes game. It might have been 2 years ago or something like that. But
it's funny. Wait, well, I have this in my notes because I'm an idiot who takes notes during the day. Somebody had texted me, a buddy, the Buffalo Bills had a perfect game Saturday night. I'm like, what do you mean perfect? Yeah, they were great. No, they did not punt. They did not turn the ball over, and they scored a touchdown on every single drive.
I was like, jeez.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, except for the kneel downs at the end of the game. Now, here's a crazy stat that I tweeted out on Saturday night. In the last two games against Bill Belichick, Josh Allen's Bills did not punt the ball once. Okay? Guys, we can admit it's okay to say it now. The Patriots, a little fugazi. Okay? That team was a little fraudulent. They got really fat and happy beating up on my guy, Mormon Mahomes. They beat up a lot of crappy quarterbacks this year. Go look at it. Bad teams. And then they had the wind-aided game over Buffalo. And I fell for it. I fell for a hook, line, and sinker. I think I came on Tuesday and I was like, I don't know. Patriots are for real? Are they home field? You know, I fell for it. And then look at reality set in. Like, okay, they have to play okay quarterbacks. And then they could not stop Josh Allen. And Carson Wentz was terrible and still beat them by like 10. And you're like, huh? And I just knew that this Patriots team, like, there's Mac Jones, very limited. That was a beatdown. So you're looking toward Buffalo, huh?
Well, I haven't made a decision yet either way. Let me just say really quickly, one underreported portion of that game, because everyone's talking about Josh Allen and the Bills, rightfully so. They were fantastic. You know that Bill Belichick had another Malcolm Butler situation where he basically benched his best defender, Matt Judon, for 70% of the game, and nobody's talking about it because, you know, what was the point of talking about it? They gave up 50 points or whatever it was.
Wait, what did he do?
I don't know, but apparently that there has been some internal strife with them for weeks now, and it played out in the playoff game where he only played like 22% of the snaps without an injury designation or whatever.
Oh, wow.
So we'll file that away. If people are listeners in Boston, maybe somebody will DM us and tweet us or whatever and let us know exactly what's going on between Judon and Belichick. But no, to go back to your point, I don't know if I'm ready to make a decision that early because, like, Josh Allen looked incredible against the Patriots. I know the Patriots are kind of fugazi, like you mentioned, but to put up that kind of points and have that kind of performance against anybody is impressive. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had like 6 touchdowns or 40 some points in 10 minutes of game time. Like, when guys do things like that, it's hard for me to just jump down like, hey, I'm definitely taking this guy. Because both of them, I think, are capable of just lighting up the scoreboard. I lean Kansas City right now, but I don't know if I'm as confident as you in saying, oh, I got to pound the KC minus 2.
I think it's just an overreaction to facing a rookie quarterback, right, in the playoffs. You face a rookie quarterback, you bludgeon them to death, and now you're like, oh, let's face Patrick Mahomes. And the Bills, the one thing, Rob, is they're secondary. They have they lost Tre'Davious White, the cornerback, remember?
Yes.
They have not faced a quarterback who could take advantage with a receiver who could take advantage. Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman are going to take advantage. I'm very excited for that one. What game did we miss? Oh, the Tampa Bay Bucks. So Rob has an extremely lukewarm, extremely... no, I mean, listen, you said it, and I was kind of impressed. So I'll give you the floor to say your... Tampa Bay Bucks
take. Yeah, we were talking before we started recording, and I said, I don't know if this is a hot take, but of the teams that won, the one I was least impressed with was Tampa Bay. And I think people might have raised their eyebrows a little bit because Tampa Bay raced out to like a 31-0 lead and it was kind of embarrassing. You know, the Eagles looked like they did not belong in the postseason, even worse than the Steelers did, and we all knew how bad the Steelers looked on Sunday night. But my reasoning was this. I believe, and I'll check this again right now, but I believe that Philadelphia did not beat a team with a winning record on their way to the postseason or something like that, or maybe they beat one.
This true story? Like they did not beat one team with a winning record.
Yeah, they were really bad. And I was texting with a friend of the pod, Chris Broussard, during this game because he's a big Brady guy. And he's like, man, Brady's looking surgical out there. You see what he's doing? I'm like, man, Derek Carr looks surgical against Philly. And I sent him a screenshot, and we're going back and forth. And then I looked it up. There was a stretch where the Eagles played 6 games and 5 of the 6 quarterbacks completed at least 80% of their passes. Like, their secondary and the way that they play is, you think the Raiders are vanilla? Like, they are whatever the lighter version of it. I don't know what that would be, you know, non-flavored, non-dairy vanilla. And so, you know, Tom Brady did his thing. They put up a lot of points, and that kudos to them, but he wasn't putting the ball deep at all, which I don't think you're going to have to do as you get deeper into these rounds. Everything was under 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. I think he completed 8 passes behind the line of scrimmage or at or behind the line of scrimmage. So they won. They didn't take care of business. That's a good thing. But everything that we're looking at in this playoff round is projecting how they're going to match up moving forward. And I don't think you're going to be able to beat San Francisco or the Rams or the Packers dinking and dunking like that. You're going to need to put some pressure on the defense. And so that's why, to me, of the winning teams, they were the least impressive.
I don't like to have to defend Tom Brady. and Bruce Arians, who, by the way, did you see him hit one of his players?
I did.
Very bizarre. Like, I guess the guy was mouthing off and Arians was afraid he was going to get a penalty. So Arians, like, hit him. I was like, geez, Arians, old crotchety dude. So, yes, Tampa Bay's offense was, you know, no big plays. They had, I believe, 2 passes over 20 yards, 0 runs over 20 yards. It was very limited offense. That being said, first impressions are everything, Rob, right? I still remember, and I, you know, tell my wife, I still remember the first time I met her. I remember like a first date. Like, first impressions really last a long time. Your first impression from Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, was very easy. Touchdown, 3 and out. Touchdown, stop. Field goal. I mean, they steamrolled him. And at that point, I'm sure a lot of people were like, you know what? I'm going to watch 3 games today. I've got to pace myself. I don't need to see every play of this beatdown. And I think Tampa was up 17-0 at the half. Jalen Hurts throws a couple bad interceptions. It's like people just saw that and they're like, oh, the Bucs are normal. But you are, to an extent, right. I mean, Tampa Bay rolled them. And Tom Brady gave Philly what they were giving him. They were like, Philly's like, we're not giving up the big play. Nothing down the field, nothing deep. Tom's like, okay, I'll take 6 and 7 yard passes. I'll take these. And we'll go down the field and we'll score. Not overly impressive for sure. And then you look at their yards per play, 4.8. That's not great. That's actually low. I know Philadelphia had a lot of garbage time stuff, so I'm not going to really get that deep. And they had 3 turnovers. But the only reason I don't think it matters that much, Rob, is their next opponent will be Arizona or the Rams. And I don't want to say you could go ahead and pencil them in to the NFC Championship, but Arizona's going to, I just, right now, Todd Bowles against Kyler Murray and that offense, I think Tampa's defense, Tampa's D looked good, didn't it not?
Yeah, their defense has been rounding into form as the season has gone on, for sure.
Yeah, and they were facing a quarterback who is second-year quarterback, first playoff game. Hurts looked overwhelmed. I'm surprised we did not see Gardner Minshew, which kind of speaks volumes about Sirianni, either his faith in Hurts or lack of faith in Minshew. I'm stunned. I thought you would open the second half with Minshew, a better passer. But he did not, and that's an L. But I guess my final thought is, I guess Tampa's going to be probably the side against the Rams. They lost to him earlier this year. But Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, where are you putting your money, Rob?
Well, if you break it down like that, I'm taking Tom Brady. But let me just say, if the Rams win, I'm taking the Rams. If the Rams beat Arizona tonight, I'm taking the Rams.
We'll get to that later, but they will. And then it's like, well, Green Bay and San Fran is a game that we're going to spend a lot of time on this week. I don't know if you saw, but San Francisco lost a couple of huge, and I'm talking significant, players in that defense, Bosa being one of them, in the second half. And I don't know, man, if they're going to be without their top linebacker,
Fred Warner, yep,
looked like he hurt his knee. He was like on the ground writhing. Bosa, and then you're going into Green Bay. I know that offense can deal and Shanahan can hang around, but this opened at 5.5, it looks like. Some places I saw 4.5. So there's a lot of respect for the Niners. I don't know, man. I got to wait to see. I can't fire on that the way I fired on the Chiefs. I don't know. Something has me worried about this 49ers defense against Aaron Rodgers. And remember, the injuries to the Bengals defense we talked about and the injuries to the Niners defense, they now face the teams coming off a bye who are going to be super healthy. That just sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. It sucks even more, I believe. Who was the team that played on Sunday that has to play again on Saturday? Was it San Francisco? Is it San Francisco who's playing on Saturday night?
Yeah, San Francisco plays Saturday.
That's even worse, man. Like, come on. Like, that's you lose these guys during a tough game, and then you got to turn around and play in 6 days.
I mean, there's really no way around that short of taking your best game, KC Buffalo, and putting it on Saturday, and then, you know,
then you're doing the same thing to Kansas City.
Yeah, well, somebody's going to get shafted either way. You knew the Bengals were getting the opening game.
Yes.
And then, and it's a tough break for the Niners. I haven't looked at the weather report yet. It's a little too early to see what's going to be the weather like in Green Bay, but probably cold. That'd be a guess.
That's a good guess.
So let's wrap up, Rob. Unless you want to dive into the NBA. I saw all your NBA tweets over the weekend. You're reading between the lines on LeBron's messages to the Lakers.
Hey, LeBron's got some cryptic tweets. You know, the moratorium on the trades has been lifted. THT is officially trade eligible. We'll get into it later. This is the NFL pod. Geez. But let's just say help is on the way eligible. In Los Angeles.
Wow. Okay. I like the I like the optimism for Lakers. Hey, Lakers, save the chaos for until the NFL playoffs start winnowing down. When there's four teams left, then you can fire. Okay? Don't do anything crazy this week because it's going to be all NFL.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, let's wrap up with Rams and Cardinals tonight at SoFi. I will not be in attendance. I do believe that the Rams are 100% the side here. Now, favorites did kind of dominate the wild card game so far, 4-1 against the spread. The 49ers were the only upset. And you know, three of those games were kind of beatdowns. But when we talked Friday, guys, I said the Rams at 4. It's down to 3.5. And I just don't know what people are seeing, Rob, in Arizona here. Again, the surface level stuff is, who's the quarterback you trust more? Well, I trust Matt Stafford. He's been to the playoffs before. Kyler Murray has not. Is Kyler Murray the better quarterback? Some people might argue that, but he's never had a playoff game, guys. Cliff Kingsbury or Sean McVay? That's easy. Rams are at home. Rams have the better defensive players. I cannot find one edge for Arizona except that maybe they are looking at all the tape from that earlier meeting when they crushed the Rams, who the Rams, by the way, had been coming off the win over Tampa, which was like a Super Bowl win early in the season. They caught them napping. And oh, by the way, they had DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt's coming back. Great. I don't think that makes a massive difference. I'm struggling to find an edge for Arizona in this game, Rob. I don't know. You've watched a lot of Cardinals this year. What am I missing?
You're not missing a whole heck of a lot, let me tell you. I mean, it's one thing, like you said, if it's just those specific matchups, the quarterbacks, the coaches, you know, you can parse it however you want. The fact remains that even with that loss on week 18 to San Francisco, the Rams are just playing better football right now than Arizona. Arizona's lost 4 of 5, and I believe it's 5 of 8. And in a lot of those games, they have looked just absolutely listless. Like, ever since DeAndre Hopkins went down, their offense has kind of fallen apart. Kyler Murray, I don't know exactly why. I don't know if it's by design. I don't know if he's hurt, but I don't feel like he's running as much as he had been early on in his career. And so it could be, like I said, it could be by design. It could be that Cliff Kingsbury is doing his usual second half of the season meltdown that he's had ever since going back to Texas Tech.
Let me ask you this, because come up on the gambling show we talked about. Is Kyler perhaps not running as much because he knows, I got to win from the pocket. Look at Lamar Jackson struggling to get his money. I'm a few years in. Do I need to win from the pocket to prove to these guys that I need to get paid? Because Patrick Mahomes won from the pocket. Josh Allen was okay, and then he won from the pocket, and then he got paid. I know that's not going to oversee the game plan and become the overriding sentiment for Kyler Murray, but in the back of his head, I wonder if he's trying to make plays from the pocket before tucking and running. And yes, we saw Jalen Hurts on Sunday tuck and run all the time, far too often. Like, try to win from the pocket. But I'm with you. I think Kyler's way more dangerous, way more when he's running. And if anybody played fantasy football and had Kyler Murray this year, early in the season, running a lot, he's awesome. Love you, Kyler. And then he stops running. And like, what are you doing? Now, was he hurt? Maybe. He was hurt the prior year. But he's just not scrambling a lot. He's just flat out not as dangerous, Rob. So, yeah, you're right. If he's not running, and again, the Rams play a lot of man. They have their back after the snap to Kyler Murray. There's going to be opportunities. But do you want Kyler Murray in the first quarter running? Because, you know, he takes one hit. He's a small guy, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, the big thing, like I mentioned, is DeAndre Hopkins being out. What normally would happen, you'd have Jalen Ramsey not fully shadow him, but shadow him a lot in these kind of games, you know, their best on best, and see what happens there. With Hopkins, I don't even know if he's going to be playing tonight. I don't know if he's actually back. I think he's hurt still. I think he's...
No, Hopkins is out.
Yeah. So what that does is that allows Ramsey to kind of move around much more than he even normally does and just erase portions of the field. Not just a guy, because if you keep him away from the field, then you can use Hopkins as a decoy and we'll attack everybody else. Well, now what Jalen Ramsey does, you don't have to have him on just one portion or one person. He can erase this part of the field for a quarter. He can erase this half of the field for the next three plays, whatever it is. And you can use him in ways that I don't think Arizona's offense can counter. So I got the Rams bigly in this one.
Yeah, I do too. I guess the one potential, and I'm sure people listening are like, well, Jay, what about the Rams secondary and having to sign Eric Weddle? And that's the one. I mean, I can't imagine that the two starting safeties being out for the Rams is worth half a point. I went to Pro Football Focus just now, Rob, and I looked up. The Rams starters for tonight are Eric Weddle, who hasn't played in the NFL in 2 years, and another guy by the name of Nick Scott, a seventh-round pick from 2019 out of Penn State. Pro Football Focus has graded 94 safeties. Mr. Scott ranks 90th. So you've got a guy who hasn't played professional football in 2 years, literally off the street. 2 weeks ago, I don't know what this guy was. He was not preparing for the NFL 2 weeks ago. Maybe he was working out, you know, staying in shape. But those are your secondary. Guys starting at safety. Now, luckily, you got, like you said, Jalen Ramsey, and the rest of their defense has a lot of talented players. But over the top, are they susceptible? Can Christian Kirk get them deep? Possibly. But this is the game where if Nuke Hopkins was there, oh, my gosh. Now, this could mean this is a huge game for Zach Ertz. The tight end eats. You know, you got a couple safeties who don't know, haven't played together ever. They practiced together for 5 days. Yeah, there's some potential catastrophes back there. I would look at the over, but I'm on the Rams at 4. If it hits 3 somehow, I'll unload a lot of the winnings from the Chiefs. But yeah, I like the Rams tonight, Rob. And honestly, Rams Bucks would be a much better matchup, I think. And I'm a Kyler Murray fan. You know that. Any early lean on Tennessee and Cincinnati, right? I just have to ask.
I'm leaning Bengals.
Interesting.
Even with the injuries, I
what if you hear Derrick Henry's going to play?
That's fine, because I don't know how effective he's going to be. That's one of those injuries.
Your boy Josh Jacobs was running. Wow.
That's his injury is one of those ones where you don't just like, hey, let me tape it up and I'll be able to go. And it's like, no, that's the one that should have ended your season. And the fact that he's even back playing is a big deal. So I like the Bengals offense to win. I think they'll be able to put up points against the Tennessee defense.
It's early. I might like Tennessee. That defensive front could give Burrow a lot of problems. But I'll close out, Rob, with an amazing stat. So Sunday night, the Chiefs had a running back catch a touchdown pass, a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass, a tight end catch a touchdown pass, an offensive lineman catch a touchdown pass, and a tight end throw a touchdown pass, Travis Kelce throwing one. No other team in NFL history has done all those things in the same season, let alone in one game. Rob, if you are the Buffalo Bills and you just watched that unfold, you're like, what? Andy Reid has some shit up his sleeve, dude. I'm just telling you, that is a hell of a game plan. They were throwing a lot of random stuff. And I know people are going to be like, why are they using those plays? You are now giving Buffalo a lot more to think about. I love the Chiefs. Love the Chiefs next week. All right, guys. This was a long Monday pod. Hope the holiday's a good one to you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.